Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tupper Springs, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today because I believe God's Word is a powerful weapon designed by the Father to set the captives free. I trust the Holy Spirit will anoint this message and it will personally minister to you and set you free. God bless and enjoy this message. Well, happy Father's Day, everyone.
Happy Father's
yes.
Day.
Yes, great day it is. We do have a gift for all the fathers as you go out. I think they said it was cupcakes. Okay, so I think everybody's, we don't need those little trinkets that you hook your keys to and that those sort of things. Just give us food. That's what we want, huh? Amen? Yes, that's right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Honor your father. We're going to be talking about Father's Day. Because it's a great time to celebrate our fathers and to be celebrated as a father. Some interesting things about Father's Day that, for all of us, I know we all have history with Father's Day. But there's a couple other holidays that I want to touch on because they're important. They're historical holidays that are very important to us as a people, and particularly as the body of Christ. I must confess that I was ignorant of this first one, which is today, it's a celebration called Juneteenth. And it's a celebration of the emancipation of slaves, particularly in Texas, because on 1865, June the 19th, Major General Jordan Granger rode into Galveston, Texas, and proclaimed that the Emancipation Proclamation had been signed by the president nearly 2 years before that. So the slaves in Texas had been emancipated 2 years after the proclamation had been proclaimed or signed by the president. So it's an important historical time, and we celebrate with our brothers and sisters in Christ, particularly African Americans who were enslaved in this country. We're not proud of that history, but it's certainly part of our history. We have to recognize it. We have to contend with it. We have to forgive one another, and we have to move on with history. And because history is going to continue to be established and proclaimed. The most important thing is that we recognize how important it is for us to recognize these kind of holidays, and we're going to celebrate it differently. I'm sure that Otis and Ivy is going to celebrate Juneteenth different than I will, but I am celebrating with them, and I'm recognizing this. Here's the thing about slavery is that when anybody is emancipated or set free from slavery, we all win because none of us want to be enslaved. And yet today in our world, slavery is more prevalent than it's ever been over the whole world. And slavery has a long history. Slavery goes way back before recorded history, way back before biblical history was recorded. One man, one group of people would enslave another group of people because they had more power or more military might than others. They would conquer them and they would enslave them, make them serve them. Slavery is not a black-white thing. Slavery is a human thing where people impose their will on others. Nobody wants to be enslaved. So we celebrate when people are set free from slavery, and we should be praying, particularly we have brothers and sisters in Christ that are being enslaved in other parts of the world. they are servants to others for one reason, because they won't bow to their gods. They serve the living God. So pray for people. Pray for those who are enslaved. And the other celebration, of course, is July the 4th, where we all, we celebrate the Declaration of Independence. We celebrate the document that set us all free, that caused us all to have the rights that we have. And we celebrate that together. Now, what I have come to understand, I didn't realize, was that these two holidays can be a point of contention with some people. Rejecting one or rejecting the other. Let's not act like the world, okay? That's how the world acts. The most important thing is not the holiday. The most important thing is that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We serve a living God. And had it not been for the Declaration of Independence, and had it not been for the freedoms that afforded all of us, the African Americans would have never been set free. None of us would have been. We'd all been enslaved in some way by government or whatever. But because of that document, we are free to be able to worship living God. We're free to love one another. And yeah, it took us a long time to set African Americans free. That was a historical blunder on a lot of people's part. But we have to understand that slavery has not always been looked upon the same way that we look upon it as Christians. Because of Christianity, that's the reason we're opposed to slavery, because we recognize that Jesus Christ came and set us all free because of his blood. And if we do not pull together as believers and we start acting like the world acts, the church will be divided and the church will be conquered. You know, it's that old adage, together we stand, divided we fall. We must pull together always. Don't allow the secular world to divide us with their nonsense. We love one another because we are brothers and sisters in Christ, because of the blood of the Lamb, because God is King and He's on the throne. And yes, we need to have some sympathy and empathy for one another. We need, the Word of God says, we rejoice with those who rejoice and we weep with those who weep. So together, if we unite together, no matter what, the world will not conquer us. We will stand in Jesus' name. There's a list of top 10 places in the world where slavery is the most prevalent. 10 nations where people are enslaved, the majority of the population, a large part of it, is enslaved. But slavery covers the whole world, particularly in nations where the Muslim religion seems to dominate. We need prayers. We need prayers for the world. We need prayers for our brothers and sisters. We need strength. We need courage to stand against such things. There is tyranny covering this world. One day Jesus Christ is going to come back and set that straight. Those who tyrannize others will tremble in their boots when he splits that eastern sky and comes back. For he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's talk about Father's Day. All right? Is that okay? We talk about Father's Day today? All right, good. I'm glad I have your permission, because I was going to do it anyhow. One father talked about Father's Day. He said that he told this story on Father's Day, that his son David went forward one morning when the pastor called the children up. It was one of those churches where the pastor has a children's sermon. And he called all the children up to the front, and it was Father's Day. And he said he brought in a smoke detector. It was just an object lesson. And he held it up and he said, children, what does it mean when you hear this go off? And this guy's son, David, said, I know. And he said, okay, David, what does it mean? It means Dad's fixing breakfast. Jeff Foxworthy said this. You'd never hear a father say this on Father's Day. Son, here's the keys to my brand new truck, and here's my platinum MasterCard. Go wild. And you never hear a father say, honey, I have the urge to go shopping. Let's spend all afternoon at the mall. I'll even carry your purse. Okay, man, can you identify with that? All right. Well, Ephesians 6:2 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. This is a commandment, honoring mother, honoring father. And today is the day. We've already honored our mothers. Today is the day we honor our fathers. According to Bell Telephone Company, the volume of long-distance calls on Father's Day is starting to catch up with that for Mother's Day. It used to be that on Mother's Day, many more calls were made. But it's starting to catch up. On Father's Day, people are starting to call their fathers. The only difference is the majority of these phone calls are collect calls. So Dad has to pay for it. Why not call him? Huh? All right. You know, before we get started, there is something that I need to share with you, because we're in the process, and you can see we're getting ready to do some stuff on the stage. We're in the process of doing some refurbishing. We're going to do some painting in here. But because we're doing this up here, we're going to have to make some changes to the way we're worshiping. We're not going to be able to use the stage. We need to get everything off the stage. So we're going to turn everything around, and we're going to put our worship team over here on the wall, and I'm going to be preaching from over there. We're going to turn the chairs around while we're working on this stage. A few weeks. Can't tell you exactly how long. We're trying to get this moving as quickly as possible, get these things done. But you can see we've got some patching to do up here on the wall here where we had trim up. We got that all taken care of. We're actually, for those of you who recognize things like this and it drives you crazy, our screen is not centered. It never has been. There was a reason for that. They told us that there was going to be ductwork right there, so we couldn't put the screen in the middle. It wasn't intentional, but they lied to us. They didn't put the ductwork there. So we can move that screen over, and that's one of the things we're going to do. Not going to be a huge project, but praise God, Kevin Ball has agreed to take on that project for us and get that taken care of. So we're excited about getting that done. So those are the few things. For those of you who hadn't noticed, now there may be a few in here that hadn't. Okay, the reason was because we had the cross up there. The cross helped to offset that and make it look. That's why the cross was there. Somebody asked me one time, is that a dead cow, a sacrificial cow, you know, that you can never get rid of? No, we put that up there merely because to offset that. However, it was a beautiful piece of work, and we can thank Curtis King for that. He's the one that made it. Where is Curtis? Right here. Curtis made that. We're not going to discard it. I want you to know we're going to find a great place to put it back up. But we are in the process of taking care of that. So I think it's an exciting time. We're going to be changing things around a little bit. We're hopefully going to make things more aesthetically pleasing up here on the stage. It's going to be exciting once when you come in and we finally have this done. You're going to be excited. We're extending this stage out a little bit so I can get closer to you. Do you want me to be closer to you? Maybe I should take a survey before I ask that. I don't know. But it's going to be great. We're pretty excited about being able to do all of this. So thank you all for your understanding as we move into this new phase that we are in right now. There's just, it's time. After 17 years, you have to do some renovation. We started out there in a hall down our children's wing, the classrooms, and now it's time to do the sanctuary. We're trying to keep this place maintained as we move along, and praise God, we're able to maintain it and pay it off all at the same time. Isn't that awesome? Yes. Praise God. All right. Let's get into this message this morning. Hallelujah. We want to honor our Father. So here's something I want to share, just a few points I want to share with you this morning. In order to honor your Father, you need to speak words of encouragement to your father. Believe it or not, dear old dad, as hard as he may seem sometimes, really needs to hear words of encouragement. He needs to hear, I love you, dad. He needs to hear, you've done a great job, dad. Thank you, dad. He really, you know, being a father, I need to hear those things from my children. You know, I've got this, when they give me cards and plaques and things like that, I keep them in my room. I keep them where I can see them because it means so much to me to receive things like that from my children. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. If you love it, you'll use it, you'll speak good, kind, powerful words. Fathers, you'll do the same to your children. Children, you'll do to your fathers. Words are very, very powerful. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, I've talked about this in the past, but I like to use this illustration because I feel like it, you know, it really helps us to kind of visualize how powerful words are. In 2004, a Japanese scientist by the name of Masaru Emoto had a book published called The Hidden Messages in Water. It became a New York Times bestseller. Now, I want to tell everybody, he's been called all kinds of names and a pseudoscientist, and some people have said, you know, there's a lot of controversy that swirls around these experiments that he did. However, I think they're very interesting. Emoto's work revolved around the hypothesis that water could react to positive thoughts and words. What he did, Emoto's water crystal experiments, consisted of exposing water in glasses to different words, pictures, music, freezing them, and then examining them under a microscope to see if the molecules had changed. He claimed and showed pictures of the water that he exposed to positive speech and thoughts and those that he exposed to negative speech and thoughts. Those who were that was exposed to positive speech, we love you, you're beautiful, you're wonderful, they showed positive outcomes under the microscope. Those exposed to negative speech were ugly. They used words like ugly, hate, you're stupid, you're sick. And they spoke to him on a daily basis. His results showed that the positive speech produced visual pleasing crystals, while negative speech produced ugly, frozen crystals. With the human body being up to 60% water, I think it's probably interesting. To me, it's very interesting to see an experiment like this. Emoto summarizes that words have a powerful impact on people. He believes that his experiences prove that words not only affect water, but they affect everything in our world, including people. And as I said, his experiments are highly controversial. However, he conducted the same kind of experiment with rice. He boiled rice in pots and divided it into three airtight jars with equal amounts of water. The first jar was labeled, "Thank you." And for 30 days, positive words were spoken to that jar. The second jar was labeled, "You idiot," indicating negative words were spoken to that jar. And on the third one, he labeled it, "Ignore." The thank you jar, he said, and he emphasized that you had to be saying it. You know, you had to use emotion, and you had to mean it when you said it. You had to be positive, and the same with the negative. The positive jar, he said, "Thank you from the bottom of my heart," and he used the emotion of gratefulness to talk to the jar. The second one, he called him an idiot, and he got as emotional as he could about that. And the third one, they just ignored. The jar that they thanked every day was beautiful. It fermented, has a pleasant odor. It didn't have any black mold or rotting materials growing from it. The jar that he bullied or took out his anger on had turned black. It was covered in black mold. The jar that he ignored for 30 days had even more black mold on it. You see, ignoring something sometimes can be more devastating than actually speaking negatively to it. Now, many people reject these results, and I got to tell you, it is what it is. You know, you can believe him. You can look at it. I did go online and check many people on YouTube who said they duplicated the experiments, and they turned out exactly the way he said they would turn out. But the reality is, I don't care what science says unless it lines up with the Word of God. And the Word of God is very clear about how powerful our words are. I believe real science always lines up with the Word of God. And when the Word of God is spoken, things happen. You know, when it says that the death and life are in the power of your tongue, it means it. It means that you have to be careful with the things that come out of your mouth. You have to be careful. And listen, we have to be careful. We may not agree with certain politicians and the direction that they take our country, regardless of who's in power. But we need to be careful how we talk about those politicians, because they are our leaders. I don't always agree with them. And it's okay to say, "Hey, I disagree with this. I think it's wrong." There's nothing wrong with that. But when you start calling people names and ridiculing people, that's not right. So we have to be very careful with that. And the same thing happens, you see, when we're free to do that, then it begins to carry over into our relationships with other people. We start calling our boss names because we don't like what he does. And then we start calling our family names because we don't like what they do. And then you start calling the preacher names. You don't like what he does. That's why I'm trying to put a stop to this right now. I don't like that. Hallelujah. Over 2,900 years ago, the wisest man ever to live, King Solomon, penned these words: "The words of the wicked are like a murderous ambush, but the words of the godly save lives." Proverbs 16:24 says, "Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul, and healthy for the body." This is the Word of God. This is how we should live our lives. This is how we should conduct ourselves. Children, love your fathers. Speak positive things into their life. Fathers, love your children. Speak positive things into their lives. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." Amen. That's what we should be producing in our lives. I picked this up somewhere, and I like it because it really sets a tone for the fruit of the Spirit, because I believe the fruit of the Spirit is one fruit with many flavors. Love is the key. Joy is love singing. Peace is love resting. Long-suffering is love enduring. Kindness is love's touch. Goodness is love character. Faithfulness is love's habit. Gentleness is love's self-forgetfulness. Self-control is love holding the reins. Love is what it's all about. But it's manifest in the fruit of the Spirit. Second thing we're going to do is, if you want to honor your father, you not only honor him by respecting him and speaking positive things into his life, but you honor his name. Proverbs 22:1 says, "A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold." A good name is to be chosen. A few years ago, Bill Cosby began his book, Fatherhood, with these words. "So you've decided to have children. You've decided to give up quiet evenings with good books and lazy weekends with good music, intimate meals during which you finish whole sentences, sweet private times when you savor the thought that just the two of you and your love are all you will ever need. You've decided to turn your sofas into trampolines and to abandon the joys of leisurely contemplating productions of great art for the joys of frenetically coping with productions of yourselves, these reproductions of yourselves." Why? He goes on to say, "The reason to have children is to give yourself immortality. And I admit, I did ask God to give me a son because I wanted someone to carry on my family name. Well, God did just that. And now I confess, there have been times I've told my son not to reveal who he is." Make up your name, but don't tell them you're my son. Well, I got to say, probably early on in my life, my father felt the same way. But praise God, because of his example, I was able to learn and begin to understand some of the things that he taught me by example, and he taught me throughout my life how to live and be a father, to be as good a father as I could possibly be, and learn. Understand that, hey, being a father, none of us are equipped with a manual that says how to be a father. Now, there's a lot of books out there. But when we become a father, we're thrown into this thing. And we have to learn as we go. And it's a good idea to pick up some good Christian authors who know what they're talking about. But make sure they know what they're talking about. Don't pick up some crazy person who's never had children, is going to tell you, some psychologist is going to tell you how you're going to become the best father in the world. He doesn't know how to be a father. You do not know until you experience it. So get some good biblical authors who understand what it means to be a godly father and learn from them. I learned from Dr. James Dobson, Focus on the Family and Family Life, and many of these radio ministries that I used to listen to when I was at work and on my way to work. Good, godly men who understood what being a father was all about. You can learn and you can grow, and we can all become better fathers. We honor our fathers when we uphold his good name in the community. As a father, I'm very proud of my children. They've all turned out to be godly people, hard workers, and good, upstanding citizens. Thank God. It's by the grace of God. Tammy and I did the best we could do. But I want you to understand something. There's a lot of people, and some of you may be sitting out there, that you did the best you could do. And right now, you don't feel like it was good enough. Don't let the enemy lie to you. When you do the best you know how, when you pour love into their life, when you love them unconditionally, and sometimes you made some mistakes, that happens. But the enemy is going to try to tell you it's your fault. It's not your fault. Continue to pray. Continue to seek the Lord. And be patient and allow Him to work in their life. He's making some changes. He's working. Sometimes it's very painful when we see the things that our children are going through. But God has a plan. Fathers, you got to set the example for your children. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Live a real Christian life before them. My dad was not a perfect man, but he was a godly man, a man that served the Lord, a man that loved his family, a man that had a good reputation. People looked up to him in the community, in the church. He set a good example. Now, I want to say this. You may not have had a father that had such a good name and left a good legacy. Guess what? It begins with you. God has called you to create that legacy, to hand down to the next generation, to stop the pain that the enemy has been bringing generation after generation. It's a generational curse, and you can stop that curse. You can put a stop to it right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and not allow the enemy to have his way so that you pass on to the next generation. I can say this, and I know it for a fact. My dad stopped the generational curses that was handed down from generation to generation in his family. He stopped it when he received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and he began to live a godly life. Put a stop to things that could have been handed down to me, to my children, and to their children. Ecclesiastes 7:1, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Deuteronomy 30:19 says this, I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Choose life, fathers. Choose it. Many, many years ago, there was a pastor by the name of Roy Smith. He pastored and preached in many generations past, but he wrote a book called Tales That I Have Told Twice. And it was stories about his family and stories that he had picked up as a pastor that he had told to make points. Now, I'd like to say something here in regards to that. We preachers, when we find a good story or we have a good story in our life that seems to relate to people, we have a tendency to use that, and we use it more than once. So if I tell you a story two or three times, please bear with me. Because it's not about the story, it's about making the point that is so important. We want you, it's not about me trying to impress you. It's about me being able to make the point that is necessary so that you can relate to it. So if you're sitting back there and you say, oh no, I've heard that one before, bear with me, okay? Hallelujah. Anyhow, he wrote this book. And in the book, one of the stories that I found that really stood out to me, that he told a story that when he was a freshman in high school, he, and the reason I'm telling this is because I want all of you to understand that fathers make a lot of sacrifices. If you're a good father, you're going to make sacrifice for your children. Sometimes they don't even recognize, they don't even see it. I saw my father sacrifice by working long hours, many hours of overtime. I saw him sacrifice that when there was a dessert left over and he would like to have it. And one of us kids decided, hey, we would like to have it. He would always say, oh, give it to the kids. I saw him sacrifice time and time again for me, for my family, for my brothers, particularly for my mother. He made incredible sacrifices. And in this story, Roy tells about his dad. When he was a freshman in high school, he got the leading part in the school play, and it was a big deal. It was a small community, but it was a really big deal. And he didn't know how his father was able to scrape the money together, because his father lived in worked in the local mill, and he could barely make ends meet. They struggled, but most of the people in the community struggled. It was a poor community. They all just worked together. But somehow he put together enough money to buy Roy a brand new pair of shoes so he could have that lead role. And one day when he was on the stage practicing, somebody broke in the back door and said, Roy, you gotta hurry, you gotta run down to the mill, your dad's been injured. And he ran out and he ran down to the mill, and it was too late. By the time he got there, his dad had passed away. Very difficult time for him. But the men of the mill had packed up his dad's belongings, and he went down there to get them one day. And after the funeral and everything had been taken care of, he went to get his dad's belongings. And they had everything in a chest. And on top of the chest was his dad's work shoes. And they had them upside down. The soles of those work shoes, he said, were completely worn out. My dad was basically working barefoot. And yet he scraped together enough money for a pair of shoes for me so I could perform in that play. Fathers make tough sacrifices sometimes. Dads, I'm speaking to you this morning. Think about that when it's time for you to make a sacrifice. I think about it all the time with my dad. I wish today I could say to him, thank you. I have to forgive my emotion. So, children, honor your fathers today. Let him know how much you love him. Speak to him. Recognize all the sacrifice that he has made. And the third thing, be obedient. You may be the adult, and your father may still be alive, but you still need to honor him by being obedient to him. Let him speak into your life. Let him tell you what to do sometimes. Makes him feel good. Makes him feel honored. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Walk in obedience to the Lord and to your Father. Fathers, remember this, that children spell love, T-I-M-E, time. A survey was done of children before Father's Day. The surveyors asked, what is the most important thing about fathers? The answers were things like, he plays catch with me. He shows me his work. He takes me on errands with him. Every single answer in the top 10 had nothing to do with presents or gifts or anything. It had to do with spending time with the children. It didn't matter whether they went fishing or went to the auto parts together, working in the garden or playing in the yard. It didn't matter. It was spending time. I love this story, and this is one of those that I've told often, but I'm going to tell it again because I like it. Harmon Killebrew was a Hall of Fame baseball player, and he used to love to tell people, because he loved his family and his father and what his father meant to him. But he used to tell the story that he and his brothers would be in the backyard playing catch with their dad after he'd worked all day long on a hard job, and he'd come home and play catch with him in the backyard. And his mother would come out and say, "Dear, you're killing our grass." And his dad would say, "Honey, we're raising boys, not grass. What's important? Let's get our priorities in order so that we know what exactly is important." One thing I always knew about my dad was that he was going to be a protector and be there for the family. He did his best to spend as much time with us as he could. He took us fishing and on family outings and things like that, but he worked a lot, so it was a huge sacrifice for him. But as you get older, you begin to realize the things that are really important in life. And understanding and trying to put in perspective some of the things that my dad did now makes a lot more sense than they used to. So it's important that we honor them, and we are honored as fathers today. I'm going to wrap this up with one last story, because it shows just how important it is for a father to be present in an individual's life. There's a certain Native American tribe, I don't know which one it is, but they had a rite of passage. And their rite of passage was that when a boy turned 13, the whole tribe would take the young man out into the woods, the deep woods, far from where their encampment was. And they would set this young man down, and they would put a blindfold on him. And then they would tell him, "Now we're all going back to the camp, and you're going to be here all alone until morning. You're not to take that blindfold off until you feel the rays of the sun beating down on your skin." And that young man would sit there all night long if he wanted to become a man, because you remember this is a rite of passage and how important it was for them to become a man. Very important. Hardly any of them ever took that blindfold off. And as they sat there in the middle of the night, they heard the sounds of the owls and the coyotes and the wolves and whatever was out in the woods. And they sat there wondering if something was going to come along and devour them. They thought they were all alone. No one around. And when that first rays of sun shone down upon them, they would take that blindfold off as quickly as possible. And when they did, they would look across to the next tree, and there sat their father. He'd been there all night long, watching over them. That's how important fatherhood is. We're watching over our families. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord. We normally take time to pray for individuals Sunday mornings, but today I'm not going to do that. If you would like to have prayer and you need prayer for healing or anything, please come up after the service and I'll definitely pray with you, and we'll have people pray with you. we want to make sure that we meet anybody's needs. But today I'm just going to dismiss you and let you go and celebrate Father's Day together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you're such an awesome and mighty God, and I thank you for the memories that I have of my dad. I wished I could make more with him. But someday, without a doubt, my heart knows that I'm going to see him again. And we're going to rejoice together. So I thank you, Father God, for eternity above all else. And I thank you for good, godly men in this sanctuary this morning, Lord, in this auditorium that have a desire to do what is right before you. They may not know everything. They need to learn some things. They need your help. But Father, they're willing to touch their hearts and direct them. Help us always to become everything you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Have an awesome day.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.